This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:40 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Now, this week in Parliament, Syed Saddiq raised the issue of how much politicians earn and all their different income sources, actually. So we're going to be diving into that.
So when we say all different income sources, when you get right into it, there are a number of things that we might not know about or might not think about. So essentially, Syed Saddiq said that politicians can not only earn large amounts by serving as elected representatives, but that the way this is structured, it sort of encourages them to hold on to their seats as a way of eventually getting a big payout, because some of these expenses include things like pensions, which compound the longer you've stayed in office. He said that a cabinet member, for instance, gets paid 50,000 ringgit a month. On top of that, meal expenses, holiday allowances can also be claimed. For those who are married, for those holiday allowances, you can actually receive between 100,000 to 200,000 ringgit per year. On top of that, gratuity pay is given to those who step down based on their term as an MP. So one of the examples that he gave was that MPs who have served 4 to 5 terms can receive a gratuity payout that might exceed 1 million ringgit, even if they only served as a minister for one day.
So that's why when we said different income sources, we use that term quite advisedly, right? And quite specifically, because it's all within, I suppose, the realms of what the realms of how much an MP gets paid, and also the different ways in which you can get that, for example, allowances and gratuities and so on. But I think that when you look at the total amount, I'm not sure that that many of us were prepared for that. I mean, I certainly was not. I feel a little bit naive. I mean, I think that you have a sense of how much the salaries are, but you don't really know what it's like all added up until somebody else does it for you. And somebody else who was on the inside of that and who can make jokes about, well, I wasn't married, so I got less. But that doesn't change the amount. We also haven't gotten into things like plots of land in Putrajaya. We haven't talked about the transportation that might be offered to you. So this is just money. We're not talking about the other things that come along with that.
So essentially, Saddiq is calling for a special committee to reassess wages and allowances that are given to our elected representatives. And I must say that, like you, Lynn, having heard this broken down in this way, I'm leaning towards that being useful. I mean, I would certainly like to know what goes into these things being decided and whether they are ultimately, whether they're justified.
Yeah, but I also want to know then who's on the committee. Because
yes,
who's on the committee and what kinds of reports are they going to be generating as well in terms of accountability? Because if not, then we just have another committee, you guys. And I'm not sure that's
useful. You don't like our numerous committees that pop up every couple of days?
Committees, don't forget task forces. I love that. That sounds so forward-looking, but it's all the same. Anyway, we're talking today about essentially how much politicians earn from different income sources within their roles as MPs or as ministers. This was something that was raised by Moi MP Syed Saddiq in Parliament. And so we want to know what you think. What should determine how much our politicians get paid? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And joining us now is Oh Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Isan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So we ran through earlier what Syed Saddiq highlighted, a number of benefits that politicians receive, gratuity pay, pensions. Do you think that these benefits are fair remuneration for the work that they do?
Well, of course, as a minister, you would like to, well, you would need actually like a car driver and so on, right? You need to be presentable to the people as well as to your foreign guests, for example. But do you actually need holidays, overseas, approved permits for foreign cars, and then the plot of land in Putrajaya, and even gratuities after you retire and so on, right? All these things, I think, should be cut And then perhaps their salaries, the actual salaries could be raised a little bit to compensate for that. Yeah.
So SADC's main point of contention seems to be that these benefits encourage MPs and ministers to hold on to their seats in the hopes of a large payout. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it would indeed make them try to, for example, become assembly persons and then MPs and then deputy minister and ministers and so on. Because apparently, after each of these cushy positions, you would get some sort of gratuities as well as some sort of retirement pension. So why not we have a system such that you get only, for example, the highest amount of pension and not anything lesser than that. For example, if you have been a minister, then you get a minister's pension, but no MP pension, no state assembly person pensions and so on. I think that should partially solve the problem.
And okay, if we look at the work that's done, if we look at the money and the various benefits that go out, how does this actually translate to the work that the MPs, Aduns, or ministers do? I mean, how does it end up impacting us?
Well, of course, we as taxpayers are, in a sense, subsidizing them for their wonderful holidays together with their family, some more to go overseas. Now, instead of having all these extra payments, as I said, you could raise their salaries a little bit, but you can also put those money as a constituency fund so that they could use those money for their, you know, to help out with their constituency works and so on. So I think you don't need to give the MPs or the YDs a lot of these perks because that only ultimately benefit them and not the constituents that they serve.
So to play devil's advocate, though, how do we then retain and encourage politicians who have been doing a good job? Could these benefits be one way to do that?
Well, as I said, you could raise their salaries and instead of paying all this extra income, I mean, sorry, extra perks and so on. And number two, come on, you come into public service, you need to make some sacrifice, right? Because you are also compensated by, for example, glamour. And also after you retire, you are likely to be appointed as board members of certain public listed companies and so on. So, yeah, you do have many other compensations other than these perks, which are paid by the taxpayers.
Let's do a bit of a comparison, right? How do these salaries and benefits for our politicians compare with other countries in our region?
I think in Singapore, for example, you do have ministers with high pay, but they don't get any of this. They don't get all these holidays, allowance. They don't get the plot of lands and all these wonderful goodies that you just enumerated. They get that just that amount of salary. And if I remember correctly, even in non-official functions, they don't get a car. I mean, they will have to drive their own cars. Of course, there's a bodyguard. But let's say the minister is going out to buy some groceries, he will be driving his own car with a bodyguard. Yeah. So the bodyguard, he becomes a driver and the bodyguard becomes a passenger.
Now, the one of the things that has, I think, come up is who is in charge of this in the first place, right? Who currently oversees the pay and the benefits for MPs and ministers? Do we have enough transparency when it comes to this process?
Well, if Sai Sadiq could dig out those informations, in theory, we could also dig out those informations. It's just that, you know, the government department's concern, I'm not sure whether it's a public service commission or whichever agency, they, of course, do not proactively put out all this information, right? But in theory, just like Sai Sadiq, you could go out there and, you know, and find out this information here.
So he has also gone on to suggest that the government set up a special committee to review wages. What do you think of this suggestion? I mean, what should the process look like?
Well, in theory, that's a good thing. But frankly speaking, I think it will end up, as you said, you know, having a series of meetings and then coming out with a report, which will be shelved somewhere. And there will not be much action taken on this. Moreover, members of this committee would get more allowance in order for them to participate in this committee. So you are just spending more money ultimately for nothing, in my humble opinion.
Is there some way that we could hold such a committee accountable for their decisions?
Well, I think it's more broadly, how do we hold our politicians accountable, right? Frankly speaking, Malaysia is not unique in this respect. Namely, in the various developing countries, sometimes you can't even hold your MPs or your ministers to be clean. What more to hold them to, try to deduct all these perks, so-called official perks from their compensation scheme? I think it's very difficult.
So what are your final thoughts on this then? I mean, how do you hope to see this develop?
I think, this country has regressed over the past 2 years. I really don't see how reforms could now be carried out as we revert back to the previous regime, which is well known for, indulging in perks, in corruption and in various scandals. So we will just have to make the best for ourselves as citizens and try to survive.
Ihsan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, talking to us today about this, well, it's not an announcement, but it feels like a revelation from Syed Saddiq in Parliament this week about exactly how much politicians can earn based on their pensions, gratuity, benefits and the like. And with that, we've essentially been asking you the question, what should determine how much our politicians get paid? We are getting messages and we'll come back for them. But you can keep those thoughts coming. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.